Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the Sunday of the Heralds. Again, not a guy named Harold or a bunch of guys named Harold. In our gospel text, we hear about John the Baptist, the one who would come to herald or come before our Lord Jesus Christ, preparing the way as the voice crying in the wilderness. But John the Baptizer is not the only herald for Jesus. There were the angels who met the shepherds tending their flocks by night. But even before them, there were to be many more heralds preparing the way for Jesus to come, proclaiming the news that God had given them before, that Jesus was coming. A herald, after all, is one who comes before another. But a herald is also a royal or official messenger, as I was telling the children a few minutes ago. In years past, one or a few people may actually have filled such an office, the office of a herald. Today we hear of heralds less often. We usually might think of the term if we're thinking of the title of a newspaper. In our Old Testament text, people from Jerusalem were called to herald the word of God to Judah, the second of the two divided kingdoms of Israel. They were to herald this good news because they were about to be afflicted in the Babylonian captivity. But even more than that, they and we are afflicted by the law. The law shows us our sin. Unlike Joel Osteen's church, where there is no law and only gospel, we know we have a need for a Savior. The law shows us. It shows us our sin. It shows us our need to be saved. And just like the Babylonian captivity would show the Israelites for their need for God, the law shows us our need for God. More than that, our need for a Savior from our sins and our sinfulness. If you are being afflicted by your conscience, if you are feeling the weight of the condemning law, God has a message for you, a message of good news in the sermon this morning. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort, my people, says God. Comfort. It's that feeling that everything is all right now. It's the tenderness of a stuffed animal given to a young child in love. It's the joy of a man or a woman of the service standing in the doorway at the end of a war or at the end of his or her term of service, and he or she is back safe and sound. It's the words, you're forgiven, after you've done something wrong and feel bad because there's nothing you could do to correct it. Comfort. That's what God desires for his people. God spoke to his heralds Isaiah and Jeremiah to proclaim this message to his people, even before their suffering would begin. But more than that, he had them herald this message so that when John the Baptist would appear on the scene, baptizing in the wilderness at the Jordan River, his people would know comfort was just around the corner. And God's book, the Bible, continues to herald the news of comfort for his people today, even to you and to me. In giving you comfort, God has promised to give you double for your sins. Now, in his commentary on this passage, Martin Luther wrote that receiving double implied the power of the comfort. You will receive double the comfort. This is not your own doing, but the Lord's. You will receive the comfort, not be given it as something you've earned. Like the gift of the Christ child himself, you will have done nothing to earn this gift. Instead, it will be given to you by the grace of your God. His grace and his great love. You were chosen to be his child, and like a good parent, God desires to give you gifts, including double the comfort for your sins. God has commanded this message of comfort to be spread by his heralds, including Isaiah, who responds in the next verses of our text. A voice says, "Cry." And I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." As we've been hearing, the day of the Lord is coming. But you and I may meet our Lord before that day comes. As a result of sin, death is also coming. We live for a designated length of time, but if Jesus does not return before that time is up, we will meet him when we die. Every living thing dies because of the fall and the sin. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely we people are grass. As God said, comfort. There is a comfort that we have now. That comfort is that while we may die, our souls will not. Though he threatened death as a result of sin, God also promised that a seed of Eve would be coming to save his people. That word of God stands forever. In our Old Testament text, he promised to fulfill that promise by bringing comfort. In Jesus Christ, the Son, our Savior, he has completed that promise. We no longer die forever. Our bodies may die, but our souls will not. This alone